water. I know that Barbadians at home and abroad are keen to find out what is the latest information from the government on this matter. So at noon, we are carrying this interview with Richard Carter, COVID-19 czar for Barbados. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, we're standing by to bring an interview with the COVID-19 czar, Richard Carter. In the meantime, those of you who have been on the line to us, please hold on, and we encourage more Barbadians abroad to connect with us as we try to get an understanding of how you're coping with COVID-19. This is Down to Brass Tacks, and it's coming to us in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. Well, we thought that was going to be an update. Indeed, it is not an update, and therefore we will move along with today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. And as we said, we are encouraging as much as possible those of you who are living outside of Barbados to participate in this program. And we have had with us on the line some people who are connected with the Barbados consulates and embassies abroad, because as you would appreciate, these people would be on the front line of those taking information and communicating with Barbadians who are affected by COVID-19. What is clear is that in the case of New York City, we've been told by Mackie Holder, who is the honorary consul general there, that they have over 20 deaths, but they don't have a really strong idea of the total number of people from Barbados who have died, and they certainly wouldn't have any figures on the number of Barbadians that have been infected by this virus. So as it stands right now, we are still somewhat in the dark as to the total impact that COVID-19 has been having on Barbadians living abroad. Please, we want to hear from you. Call us at 434-1790. This edition of Down to Brass Tacks is coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. For business arise, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all.
Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more. Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, Down to Brass Tacks, do we have a call?
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes,
hello.
Good afternoon. You're on the air?
Yeah, hello, yeah, Mike.
I can hear you. Just speak.
Good afternoon. My name is Earl Phillips. I'm the Secretary Treasurer of the Transport Workers Union here in New York.
Yes. Nice to have you.
Yeah, so you represent the 46,000 transport workers that move New York City and are the frontline workers operating the buses and the subways. And this morning, my final count of workers that they have day on the job is 61 workers. And we have close to like 5,000 in quarantine.
Wow, that's a lot.
So, that's a lot. And so we're in a dire situation here. This started out with us when first had some meetings with the higher-ups in the MTA about how we're going to protect our workers. And starting in January, and from then, we were battling about getting the correct PPE for our workers. Also battling, we had some battles also with the CDC, who was greatly responsible for this mess that we're in today. they were very lackadaisical in getting their act together. And we then had in turn started to work then with the World Health Organization about how to get going. So here we are today with our families staying in the line of duty per se. So that's where we are today. We're in a mess here today. So just to give you a brief of where we are today. So by tomorrow, these numbers are going to be added again, and the fallen data are going to be added again.
Any Barbadians working with you who have died?
Well, I know for certain when this is all subside, there will be some Barbadians, but at this point in time, I can't put my finger to say that, yes, there's one Barbadian so far.
But how do you cope with this?
It's tough. It's tough, you know. when you actually have to listen to family calling you to get an update on the passing of a loved one, you know, that's tough. So we go through every day, and we have Vice President Crane, you know, Union Reps Crane, you know, it's tough. President Crane. You know, we lean on each other because we don't have the answers, you know. We wish that we don't have to go there every day, but just have to do it. We have to get the nurses to work. We have to get the doctors to work, and it's tough. Then the other piece that we're dealing with is that we have the homeless. The homeless is a big problem for us. The homeless, right, they can't be on above ground, you know, and they find their new home in the subway. So here's it that on mornings when the train move off, the trains are moving off with 200 or 300 homeless people on them. So the conductors have to move from one car to the other car, and they have to walk through the homeless who's not wearing a mask, who's now infecting our conductors, the members that we represent. And so we're asking the city, we're asking the mayor to get these homeless people off the street, get these homeless people off the subway cars, and that in itself is a big struggle. So this is where we are today.
How long have you been out of Barbados, and where are you from originally?
Well, I've been living out of Barbados now for about 32 years. From a small village in Barbados, village called Manning's Village, St. George. Went to school to St. George Secondary, right up to the top. And just running this union, second in command of the union, run it, and the Transport Workers Union. So, but this is my toughest time as a union leader. Toughest time in my life.
You could hear the emotion in your voice as well. You can hear that. Yeah. No, among the people that are working with you, and perhaps talk about yourself, at the end of a day, what happens when you start the day? What happens when you end the day? When you get home? When you're leaving home in the morning, what are you saying to yourself?
Well, so every day now we have, you get up. Take a shower, you make certain that you yourself have your PPE, you know, and you head through the door and check your phone because there's going to be some sad news on your phone. Your gear, you put on your mask, and you head out. You go, you check your workers, you make certain that they themselves have the correct PPE that we're finally now getting. And you interact with your workers, keeping a distance from them. They understand it. Some of them, they don't want to be in operation. They're scared. Some of them, they want to get the doctors and the nurse to work, but they want the correct gear. And they will say, Mr. Phillips, we can make this happen. But they're scared. Everyone is scared. And then we get into some dialogue of the home remedies that we use, you know, and we share information with each other, you know, who's steaming, who's using peppermint oils. These are the kind of conversations we have. And we get through the day. We share things on social media. Again, keeping our distance. I return home one evening. And the first thing I have to do is you drop your shoes at the end of before you enter the door. You take off your shoes, take off your clothes. You put them in a plastic bag. You spray them with Lysol. You go straight to the shower. You wash from your head to your toes. Check the internet. Check your email. I guarantee you, there's going to be an update with somebody that you get called in the night. Somebody that family's crying. Some families don't even have money to bury their loved one as yet. So we have certain provision in our contract that we have to try to get families' money as soon as possible. Some families can't get their loved one out of the morgue. You know, we had a worker. I'll give you an example of what we faced in this. We had a worker that she's a cleaner. She died in the Bronx. Died home. Police officers came to her home. They said, well, we're not going to come in because she has COVID-19, so we're not going to come into the room. Her and her family was in the room. They asked the family to come out. That body stayed in the room for over 26 hours. So here's it. This is one of our workers in the room dead for over 26 hours. The deceased family had to come down in the road, sleep in their vehicle, waiting for the correct officials to come to move that body out of the room, right? And so families are affected. So the families that were in, had to wait in the vehicle with two kids and the father, little kids crying. They're calling the union, asking for help. We can't do anything. So families are affected. All around.
What about your family?
All around. So, stuff.
They are living in anxiety when you leave home and when you come back?
Well, my mom, she prays for me every day.
She prays for you every day.
Every day.
She lives in New York or she lives in Barbados?
No. She lives in New York. I haven't seen her in 5 weeks. I have her locker in her. Have her locker in her house. My siblings and myself, we don't go by her. We speak to her every day. I speak to my kids via social media. And that's the way I move every day.
Yes.
So it's tough.
It is very much so. Well, thank you very much for updating us on what's happening in your neck of the woods. And let's take another call. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Helen Walker. I live in the U.S.
Which part of the U.S.?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
In Brooklyn. What is it like there for you?
It's not easy. Our lives are not the same. There were 20 persons died in the U.S., and I happen to know around 5 of them personally. I did a bit of crying when I realized that they're no longer with us. I am a member of 4 organizations here in New York, and we have lost 2 members from the Barbadian Ex-Police Association, one of which was the secretary for over 28 years. So that's a big loss to that organization. But we have to keep our faith strong. Our lifestyle will not be the same.
How has your lifestyle changed?
I have to make sacrifices, and I have to follow the instructions of the authorities. And I'm unable to go outside as I can without mask or gloves. I haven't left the home since March 14th. I have a very close friend in a nursing home, and it's unfortunate I cannot visit him. I try calling sometimes, and they give me a FaceTime video so I can say a few words. But I have been fortunate and blessed that some people take the time out to bring me, to call and check on me and to bring me food items. And I stay in, connected with the social media.
You've
the
been
Consul General of Barbados at New York, Mackie Holder, is doing an excellent job by keeping the Barbadian organizations and the diaspora up to date on the coronavirus pandemic.
How long have you been?
We receive.
How long have you been living in Brooklyn?
I have been here from 1980.
And you would have come from which part of Barbados?
I am from Christchurch.
From Christchurch, and in terms of what I mean, prior to COVID, what was your routine like? What was, you know, what were you doing prior to COVID coming and interrupting? Well, as a retired person, therefore, you would have been involved in what activities? So,
I'm involved in four different organizations here, and I'm also very heavily involved in my church.
And church has been changed quite a lot.
Yes, we have. Well, we have conference calls now and Zoom. So, in light of this social separation, we have weekly Bible study and church services via conference call.
What
yes,
is your?
It's rough, sir. We're really hurting.
What's
we're,
your assessment of
really
that?
Hurting.
How has that changed for you? The whole concept of worship and fellowship. How has that changed, if at all, for you?
Yes, it's made us more aware of our surroundings. We have to stay prayerful. We have to connect with friends and see how our friends are. We have to connect with the older folks and see how they are doing.
But there are those who saw the church traditionally as a place where you go get, you know, between the walls of the church and you share fellowship. Now you're doing it from a distance.
We do.
Does it feel markedly different to you?
Yes, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, but I do miss my church family, as we were very close. But we're trying to connect by conference call, and we're trying to connect via Zoom.
Okay, well, we wish you all the best in these circumstances. As we say, you got to stay safe.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Let me
see. We have to keep our faith strong and knowing that divine healing is on the way.
Okay.
Our lifestyle will never be the same, but I urge all to follow the instructions of the authorities.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take another call. We have the news at 12:30. Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, tell me who you are.
My name is Charlie. I'm calling from the UK.
Okay. The name again is?
Charlie.
Charlie. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Charlie. You've been in the UK now how long?
11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this experience. What's it like for you?
Well, when it really hit home, the schools closed here in the UK about 4 weeks ago. And then about a week later, the Seventh-day Adventist Church made an announcement that worship will be ceased. And that's when it really hit home that this thing, well, I didn't really not take it seriously. It's just that it was far away from me at the time. Then when the Adventist Church closed, I knew that this thing was very serious and I had to, you know, take more precaution.
From where you sit in England, which part of England are you living in?
I live in the Croydon area, the Greater London area.
Yes. From what you are seeing there, how does it impact on your day-to-day life?
Well, when the order was given for schools to close the supermarkets, there was a mad rush. There was no social distancing, I can tell you. There were long lines around the supermarkets. The shelves were empty. The schools are off. They're receiving work online. And, my work, again, there's a lot of pressure at work. A lot of my colleagues are off sick. So it is a great challenge at the moment.
For you, how have you actually adjusted to it? How has your life actually been altered by it?
It just obviously services for church. We cannot meet. You have to stay indoors a lot. Only when I am going to work, I actually venture or going to the supermarket for essential stuff. Apart from that, I am mostly indoors with my family.
And church?
Yes.
Obviously, from what you're saying, you have been very involved in church work in the UK.
Yes.
Are you a pastor or something? Or what
no, I'm just
you?
One of the members of the church, just playing, doing my part where I can.
So if church is affected in that way, so significantly, how does that make a difference to you as an individual?
Well, the physicalness, time to have a laugh and a chat and have a meal, how we were before this pandemic started. It was only in January, February that life was, if you will use this term, normal. But since this pandemic has really taken its toll on us, it has really affected our socialization. But we try to meet up on Zoom and have one-on-one chats over the telephone. And the elderly members of our membership, they can't get out, so I try to call them as much as I can just to check in on their welfare.
Any other Barbadians that you know seriously affected by it?
To the best of my knowledge, no. Funny enough, I live very close to another Bajan family, and they seem to be pretty okay at the moment.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We'll take another call before we go to the news. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Hello?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Yes. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
My name is Sandra Tay-Edie. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Yes. And share with us your
and
experience.
I've lived here for
how long?
I've lived here for 45 years. So I guess my experience is going to be from the perspective of at home and living in a home with others, and particularly people who are going out to work. Initially, when this occurred, I took it very seriously, and so I started taking precautions right away. But I have a son who is in his 20s, and he had quite not caught up to taking it seriously. And I started getting panic attacks, so I went to the doctor twice. And my doctors, and I wore a mask to the doctor, but they had not yet been told by the CDC that they should be wearing masks. And I just remember quarreling with the doctors and saying, why you guys don't have all masks? Don't touch me with that till you clean it off. So if I were going to talk about anything today, it's about people advocating for themselves. And when you see there are others who are either not taking this seriously enough or not taking the precautions, and they could potentially endanger you, that we have to take whatever steps we need to take to keep ourselves safe. Obviously, we can't control others. So when my son would come in, and when I come down in the morning, I am spraying everything, doorknobs, the latch on the toilet, anything that he could potentially have touched, I would make sure I disinfect. Obviously, they have come around now and is doing what they need to do. But my advice to anybody, particularly those persons who have underlying conditions, hypertension, asthma, diabetes, heart trouble, make sure that you protect your space and insist on boundaries with people who are not observing the seriousness of this virus. Case in point, I had a delivery from a major retailer, and the two delivery men walked into my house, and they were not wearing masks. And I told them, hold up right there, let me go and get my mask. And I asked them, why aren't you wearing masks? I said, when you leave the house, you're either taking the virus or you're bringing it back home when you come back. So we do have to assume that everyone is a carrier. And I was very annoyed that here is a corporation sending people out, and these people are coming into people's house. They don't know if I have an underlying condition. They don't know if they have the virus. So they could have easily dropped the virus in my house and gone along. So we have to advocate for ourselves.
Yes, thank you very, very much for that advice from Connecticut in the United States. And to hear more of how COVID-19 has changed the lives of Barbadians living abroad. This edition of Down to Brass Tacks comes to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. For billets of rice, big or small, and Williams Metals, we have it all.
Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more. Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing. Big or small, and Williams Metals, we have
it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
This is Down to Brass Tacks, coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. Today, we are taking a look at how Barbadians living abroad are coping with COVID-19. We've had on the line with us some of our diplomatic representatives and some other people in the early stages of the program. Some of them may still be here online. But in the remaining time that we have, we're trying to get as many average Barbadians as possible who live abroad to communicate with us and tell us what's happening in their neck of the woods. I think we have one such person on the line right now. Hello?
Hello.
Good afternoon. Yes, welcome.
Hi, yes, thank you. My name is Sonia Clark. I'm calling from Brooklyn in New York. I first want to extend my condolences to our colleagues here in Brooklyn that would have lost their lives. May their souls rest in peace and rise in glory. I also wanted to extend my thanks to our CG here, Mackie Holder, for the great work that he's been doing to keep us here abreast of what is going on back home in Barbados. Every week, he has a conference call that he conducts with different organizations and individuals to keep us abreast of what's going on. So I want to thank him for that. Certainly, it has affected a lot of us here in the diaspora, and it is really hard to even wrap your minds around not only the fact that it's affecting Barbadians, but it is affecting the Black communities across the country. So I want to let us be mindful of that fact that we come with so many dispositions already, and the lack of health care is one of those major issues that we are confronted with here in New York, and especially in the Brooklyn community.
Do you see that as something that is impacting on the Barbadian community there as well?
Absolutely, because a lot of Barbadians and by extension immigrants who've come to Barbados to improve themselves, so to speak, a lot of them are under the radar. And by that I mean they are so afraid sometimes of coming out and going to receive resources because they're concerned and afraid that they, because some of them may be documented, undocumented, sorry, and they may be afraid to come out of the woodworks because of fear of being deported. And not only that, a lot of them are not aware that they can find places where they can get proper health care. And we have to find some ways to educate our people in terms of what they have that are there for them, that they're entitled to, because they come here and they work hard. But yes, I think one of the issues is health care. They don't have adequate health care or no health care at all, and that is keeping them at home from seeking medical attention.
Okay, thank you very much. We want to transition now to England. Charles Critchlow. We're going to try to make contact with him. He's a retired policeman, and I'm told he may very well have some information, new information for us. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
For business surprise, big or small, at Brilliant Metals we have it all.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipe, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate, too, on all your fencing material.
For building surprise, big or small, at Brilliant Metals we have it all. At Brilliant Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Yes, good afternoon. Well, quite a lot has been said since we last heard from some of the people that we had here on the line. The Deputy High Commissioner, Charles Morris, is one of those people. Deputy High Commissioner in London, Mackie Holder, Consul General in New York. Mackie Holder, are you still with us?
I'm still here, David.
Okay. And of course, is Shivali Gooding still with us from Canada? But let's come to you, Mackie. When you look at how everything has unfolded here, people say, well, you know, the life is not going to be the same. When you look at it, what do you consider maybe change considerably and going forward, the things that we really need to examine and be prepared to do differently?
I'm probably a little cynical with it. I think we're going to move to, I think the Prime Minister would have mentioned this, I think more people are going to recognize the positive value of technology. I think another person who called in mentioned that we're going to have to treat to paranoia and those kind of things. I think being holed up for weeks on end, and there's no guarantee that this thing is not going to come again. Travel, I think one of the things Barbados must look at, and I'm glad to see that the BTMI has put out a nice little video on Barbados. I think we have to look at our economy and look at the challenges that are there. Some of them, of course, like the COVID, we can never anticipate, but I think we're going to have to start to reorganize things. As everyone says, life will not be the same. But people are people, you know, and I see a future where we get back to some normalcy. And, you know, people will again gather and that sort of thing. Out of this will come good, huh, David? Out of every bad comes some good. And I think we will have some new regulations put in place. People will understand at a more philosophical level the important things in life, family, friends, good relationships, good governance, and just looking after one another.
Well, it's early days yet. And
very early days.
It's very difficult to determine exactly. Yes?
Yeah. While I was on the call, I was watching the mayor's presentation, and I was watching the governor's presentation, and it's early days yet. I must tell you now that my brain is more focused on the discussion that has started in New York, certainly. The president would have raised it about a week ago, but the governor has now picked it up. And that is about getting back to work. I don't know how you get back to work amidst this uncertainty. There has to be a balance, but I'm watching that to see where that goes. But I'm ever hopeful, ever thankful, and you know, thank my staff. I thank the members of the community. We have a conference call every Monday night. That will be later. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say from here, you know, I think Barbados has done well. I think Barbados has good leadership. I think at this time, I'm not being particular, but I think it's good that we have someone like our Minister of Foreign Affairs there, who is also a doctor, and I imagine, you know, would be having discussions with the COVID team regularly. And I just want to say, no matter what the Prime Minister and the team puts in place, at the end of the day, it comes down to people.
Well, you know that at the end of the day, how well Barbados has done will be influenced by the overall impact of these numbers. And
exactly.
And while we can say so far we have done well enough to try to keep the numbers down.
That is not to say we're out of the woods down
that,
there.
Not at all. By no stretch of the imagination can we say that. We just don't know where exactly we are now. I mean, the government has just extended the emergency down to May the 3rd. And I mean, that is indicative of government's recognition that we are not out of the woods just yet. So I personally would be cautious, very cautious about how much we say on where exactly Barbados is right now. Now, there are some issues that we've had to deal with here because, you know, we've had the situation where a number of Barbadians, we've been discussing the timing of moves, the issue of borders. I mean, these are the types of issues that, from what you have all told us today, other countries have had to grapple with this as well. This issue of supermarkets, what's left open and what's not open, the timing for the opening of supermarkets, the extent to which people have panicked to some extent and been all over each other. Barbados has also been through that kind of experience. We are also trying to see if we can make contact with somebody in Italy. There's a Barbadian in Italy, but we've been challenged by all circuits are busy. So again, if you can call us, both the caller from Italy and the one from Qatar. Our number is 4341790, 4341790, okay?
David,
yes.
If I may, I just wanted to make the quick point that regardless of what is put in place, that it comes down to people adhering to the regulations. That is the essential point I wanted to make, that people must adhere to the physical distancing, the sanitizing, and so on.
But people also need to use common sense. I'll tell you why I say that. There was a, you know about the party in New York. At the time, the authorities said there could be gatherings of no more than 500. From what I understand, the party might have had about 200 or less, right? But the truth of the matter is that it doesn't take 200 people to transmit COVID to you. Your common sense says that people, governments, will say 20, 50, 100. But there's no magic in the numbers that they're giving. At the end of the day, we have to take responsibility for self. And that's exactly what the lady from Connecticut said. You heard her talk about masking up early and saying, look, if you don't have a mask then I'm going to get one, but you're not coming in my space like that. Because she wasn't sitting down there waiting for the authorities to start to tell her what to do. There are a lot of people who were saying we should be wearing masks ever since. It is now that the United States has recently said the CDC is saying wear masks. And now Barbados is saying wear masks. But there were people out there who said, listen, this thing is uncertain. In this realm of uncertainty, let me take responsibility for myself. If the authorities want to do what they want to do, so be it. But I'm going to do what has to be done in my own best interest. So that's another way in which people have been dealing with it.
How much is that?
Yeah, I think we have here from Washington, this is Ambassador Noel Lynch. Are you on the line?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, what can you report to us from your position there as ambassador to the, I think it's the OAS and Washington?
And to the United States.
And to the United
States. Yes, thank you, David. I hope you're keeping safe. I hope you're keeping safe and healthy.
I'm trying.
As all other Barbadians should be. And David, I just wanted to be a part of the conversation to say that obviously you know that the United States has now become the epicenter globally for this pandemic, in a situation where close to now approaching 600,000 people and 22,000 deaths in the United States, with New York being the epicenter of this, in the United States, that is, being the center of this. Obviously, it is a difficult situation for Barbadians because we know how many Barbadians are actually resident in the United States. I will tell you, though, that the embassy here, that we've obviously been thrust into the front line of seeking to do a number of things on behalf of the government and people of Barbados. You were aware that we had some difficulties with some PPE that was destined for Barbados and was not allowed to come into Barbados at the time. Now, clearly, the United States is struggling with personal protection equipment, and therefore, they are seeking to garner as much of this equipment as possible for themselves and for their own frontline workers and health workers. In our case, what we've been trying to do through with a number of other CARICOM countries is actually to source PPE directly out of China. And there is a proposition that we may be able to get some as well out of India that can come directly into Barbados, therefore, or into the region on a chartered flight, therefore not going through all the difficult challenges that we would have if it came through or came from the United States. And I will also tell you that the same source that we are utilizing to see if we can get this equipment for Barbados is also a source, for example, that the government of California is actually using, the governor of California and his people are actually using to get PPE, because even where you produce masks and the like, companies like 3M in the United States, it just is not enough. It just, the stockpiles that they had have obviously been depleted. And now what you're looking to do is to see how much you can get this thing into Barbados. So I have relatively good news for Barbadians, is that we are seeking as much as we can to assist in that particular regard. In my case, we are in Washington, D.C., as you know. But Washington, D.C. is between Virginia and Maryland. And in our case, in the DMV area, at least in the Washington area, 750,000 residents in Washington, D.C., there have been like 1,000 cases and just over 100 deaths. But that in itself is significant for a region of this kind. And it is estimated that this week that Maryland is actually going to peak. And therefore, people are staying very, very close and very obviously observing all the issues of social distancing and the like. There are just over 1,000 Barbadians in the DMV area that are part of our database that we have for the embassy and the embassy. And we have sent out messages to them actually looking out for them, telling them that the embassy, even though the physical doors are not open, we are open virtually and electronically for anything that we can provide to them. We've also had to look out the issue of students who after the, you know, there was this spring break, and then spring break was really suspended. And then there was the issue of the lockdown. We were also in the vanguard of looking out for students here, because there are many students here who are either at Howard University, at George Mason University. We've been looking out for them. And then there was another case.